Let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, please. Genesis, chapter 12. If you don't have your Bible, if you're visiting this morning, you don't have a Bible, that's fine. I'm going to read some verses out to you anyway this morning. Genesis, chapter 12. But who likes stories? Anyone like stories? I love stories. I'm going to tell you a story this morning, straight from the Bible. It is one of the most incredible stories you will ever hear. It is real. It's a really cool story. I'm sorry? Oh, there we go. Yeah, we're going to learn the story of Abraham. Just a little bit about the story of Abraham. Now, you know the Bible says in Galatians 3, it says, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Abraham is called the father of faith. Why was he called the father of faith? Because Abraham believed God. Now, Genesis chapter 12, you follow as I read here. "Now the Lord has said unto Abram," I wonder who Abram was. Anyone know who Abram was? Yes. Abraham, very good. God changed his name to Abraham, but his name at the present time is Abram. Here we go. "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Wow, that was a funny thing to say to someone. Now let me see if I can get this thing to work. Just turn on. Hang on. I've got to turn it on. Okay. All right. We'll just go to the next. Oh, hang on. Something here. What am I doing here, Pastor? Have I got to turn that on? Oh, I just did it. Okay. Ah, that's okay. No worries. Oh, it's on now. Okay. It says 0.00, whatever that means. All righty. Very, very good. Now, God told Abraham to do something really unusual. There's Abraham, or an artist's impression thereof. Imagine if someone came to Pastor Allen and he said, "Pastor Allen, I want you to get your family. I want you to pack up everything you own. I wonder if we could find a removalist truck anywhere in the church." Okay, and I want you to go, okay? Just go. And he would say, "Where to?" "It doesn't matter, just go." "But do I go to South Australia? Do I go to New South Wales? Do I go to, where else can you go? The Bass Strait? Do we go to Western Australia, Queensland, Northern Territory?" No, just go, okay? You'll find out where you just got to go. Who'd like to do that? Yeah, some would. Most of us would like to know where we are going. But God said to Abraham, or we could call him Abraham, same fella. He said, "I just want you to pack up and go." And then, in fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, he went out not knowing whither he went." So Abraham believed God. Abraham obeyed God. He said, "Okay, I'll go. I don't know where I'm going, don't know what I'm doing, don't know what all this is for, but I'm going to go anyway." And then God went on and he made an incredible promise. Well, incredible promises to Abram. Chapter 12, verse 2. Look at this. "And I will make of thee, Abraham, a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." A sevenfold promise. Now, we don't have time to go into all those promises. The Bible students have studied all those. But God said, "Listen, Abram," he said, "I want you to go." And he says, I'm going to bless you in such an amazing way. You're not even going to believe it. Well, eventually you will believe it. But he said, "I'm going to bless you. Your name will be great. And anyone who blesses and favors you will be blessed. In fact, everyone in the whole world is going to be blessed because of you." It was a pretty amazing thing. In fact, let me turn over here to Genesis 15 and verse 5. God came to him again at one stage. Genesis 15 verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them." So Abraham, there's all the stars. He said, "Abraham, you try and number the stars." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." In other words, your descendants, You know, your children, your children's children, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, and so on, are going to be like the stars in the sky. That's a pretty cool promise. You know, God is a wonderful God of promises. You know, God has kept every promise he's ever made. You know, this book, the Bible, is full of promises. Who knows some of the promises of God? Who can tell me? Yes. I can't hear someone else. What's the promise of God? Yes. He will come back. Very good. When Jesus said, I'm going to come back, is he going to come back? Yes, he's going to come back. Because unlike us people, sometimes we keep our promises, sometimes we don't. Who's ever broken a promise? Anyone? Everyone put your hand up. That's it. We've all broken promises. God has never broken a promise. I can think of some more. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a pretty good promise. You know another promise that the Lord made to his children? He said, I'll supply all your needs. The Bible is full of the promises of God. That's what makes it such an incredible book. Anyway, God could not understand how this was going to happen. Abraham could not understand how this was going to happen. And I'll tell you why. Over in Genesis 17, and verse 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be, and I will bless her and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples shall be of her. Now, you see, to have descendants, you've got to have what? You have to have children. Now, there was a promise here. Abraham and Sarah didn't have any kids. And the amazing thing was, as we'll read here in verse number 17, they were getting on in years. Okay, look at verse 17 of chapter 17. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him, that is me, that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Abraham said, now Lord, I understand you wanted me to leave, and I understand you've given me all these promises, and I understand that you've said that my descendants are going to be like the stars up there in the sky. You're not even going to be able to number them all. But Lord, he said, we have a problem. I'm 100 years old, my wife is 90, and we haven't got any kids. And the Lord said, no, you're going to have a son. And so Abraham did what most of us would have done. He laughed. Like if Pastor Allen said to me, you're going to score 100 in a test match at the MCG, I would laugh at him and say, there's something wrong with that fella. He hasn't had enough sleep. But Abraham thought, this is crazy, and he laughed. And of course, God heard him laughing. At this time, Abraham wasn't believing God. Now, come over to chapter 18. It wasn't just Abraham, it was Sarah as well, his wife. Chapter 18, verse 10. And the Lord said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. Look at verse 12. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? In other words, Sarah said, she laughed. I'm 90. She said, I am not a spring chicken anymore. I'm 90. I cannot have a child at 90. And my better half, Abraham, he's 100. He's already reached the century. There's no way in the world we can have a child. And they laughed, and both of them laughed. But you know, God had the last laugh. Look at Genesis 21, verse 5, or verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Look at verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. At last, the old fella had a son at 100 years of age. Now, my dear mother was an only child, and she was born when my grandmother was 46, and that's pretty old. I mean, 46 is not old, but it's quite, I'm getting in trouble here. Now that I'm in the 50s, 46 is actually really, really young. But anyway, you know, to have a first baby at 46, I know it does happen,
But it was pretty unusual in those days. Well, here is Sarah that is 90 years old. As one fellow said, she was most probably so wrinkled you could screw a hat on. She was old, and she had a baby. And you know what they call? You'll never guess what they called the baby. Who knows what they called the baby? Yes, Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Does anyone know what Isaac means? Yes, it means laughter or laughing. Remember they laughed? They said, there's no way in the world we can have a baby. Well, they had a baby. They called him Isaac. Well, this is we could stop there and say that is an amazing story. How God kept his promise to Abram. They had no idea how it was going to happen, but they finally had a son. But the second part and the last part of our story, and I'm nearly finished. I haven't got long to go this morning. But the second part is this. God told Abraham to do something. Now, the first thing he told him to do was to leave his country and to go somewhere. He had no idea where to go. The second thing he told Abraham to do was even more astonishing. Now, get the story. They finally have this little baby. The little baby called Isaac. He was a miracle baby. Look at chapter 22 here. And this, if you've never heard this story before, this will blow you away. Genesis 22. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or we could use the word test, Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. And by the way, for the Bible scholars here, the first mention of the word love in the Bible is in this verse. Whom thou lovest. Do you reckon Abraham and Sarah loved their child? I reckon they did. This little miracle baby, they loved him. And they said, Take Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You know, Isaac was most probably, we don't know how old he was. He was obviously old enough to talk. He was obviously old enough to walk. I'm guessing maybe he was 10 years of age, which would have made Sarah about 100 and Abraham about 110. But God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, take him up to Mount Moriah and kill him. What? You know, when you make a sacrifice, hands down, when you make a sacrifice, you actually have to kill something. Take him up there and offer him as a burnt offering. You know what's amazing? Let me just read the story here. The Bible tells it better than I could ever tell it. Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he cut up the wood for a burnt offering. You can see the wood there on the donkey. And he went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. This is one of the most amazing stories. You know what struck me as amazing? Here we have a fellow that's 110 years old, and his son is most probably about 10. Give or take a few years either way. You know, I don't reckon Abraham was able to, I don't think he was very fast at 110 years of age. But I reckon his son Isaac would have been a really good runner. You know, it would have been easy for Isaac to run away. But when Isaac understood what was going to take place, you know what he did? He said, Okay, my father, if that's what you want, if that's what God wants, that's fine with me. He could have run away, but he didn't. He says, no, I'll just stay here. That's fine. I trust you, my father. I trust you, my father. And they bound him up just like they would a sheep. And he put him on the altar. And the Bible says these amazing words. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham took the knife back and was just about to kill his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, a sheep caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Wow. What a story. Abraham's about to kill this little boy that they waited so long for. They loved that little boy. Through that little boy, Isaac was the descendants of Abraham. We're going to be like the stars in the sky at night. God was going to make him a great nation, and God was going to bless everyone who blessed him. And it says, in you, Abraham, and in Isaac, and in your descendants, shall all people of the earth be blessed. And yet he was willing to go and kill his only son as a sacrifice. You say, could you have done that? I couldn't have done that. I don't know about you. I couldn't have done that. I don't think I could have done that. What a man of faith was Abraham. He still believed that God was able to raise up descendants of his, even if he had to sacrifice his son. I actually think, and the Bible commentators will tell you this, Abraham believed that even if he killed his son, God would bring him back to life again. But that's another story. But you know, this is one of the greatest pictures in all the Bible of what God has done for us. There's a verse in Romans. Let me read it to you. Romans 8, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And 1 John 4 verse 9 says, God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. This is the most beautiful, the most incredible, the most perfect picture of what God has done for each and every one of us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. You know, Jesus, and Jesus himself, the Son of God, he could have called thousands of angels before the cross. But he says, no. He says, no man takes my life, said Jesus. I give it up. I give it up willingly. And Jesus was our Passover. He was the sacrifice for us. You say, why did Jesus have to die? And the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the pivotal event in the history of planet Earth. Doesn't matter what people say, people are trying to take Jesus Christ out of history. But the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ, he is the centerpiece of this entire world. Why did Jesus have to die? Because God loves us. And because we are sinners. I don't care who you are this morning, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us, from the littlest baby here to the oldest person here, we are all sinners. And the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the wonderful story is that the Bible says in Romans, but God commendeth, or God demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel message. And that's the message I bring to you this morning, my friend. Now, maybe you're visiting this morning, or maybe you've been here many, many times. You know, that's what One Way is all about. That's what Golden City Baptist Church is all about. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And my friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, I invite you this morning to come and trust the promises of God. You know, God has given us His promises. They're in black and white in this book called the Bible. That's why you say, well, Christianity, becoming a Christian, it's a step into the dark. No, it's a step into the light. We have the recorded promises of the Word of God. Let me give you one last promise and I'm done. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. God says, for whosoever, and you can put your name in there, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, becoming a Christian is a very difficult thing for most people, but it's simple. I always say it's as simple as ABC. A says to admit that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B is believe that Jesus died for you, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And C is call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I know many of the young people here, many of the boys and girls, I'm sure, have asked the Lord Jesus to save them. With childlike faith, and that's how God wants us to come, with childlike, simple faith, believing the gospel. And the gospel, the word gospel means good news. Is there someone here this morning, and you'd say in your heart of hearts, preacher, that's me. I don't know that I'm a Christian. I don't know that Jesus Christ is in my life. I invite you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. I'm not asking you to come and join the church. I'm not asking you to put money in the offering plate. I'm not asking you to reform, to change. I'm not asking you to do any of that stuff. I'm asking you to come as a sinner to Jesus.